Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Linda Palacio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the air.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte, and in the studio today, we have just tons of hair and beards going on, except for our producer Jack, because he just shaved this week. Sorry,
yeah, I thought
Jack.
It was shave week. I missed the memo.
It's not Movember or whatever it is. And you look great. I'm just going to say that, by the way, Jack.
You do.
No, oh, thanks, guys.
And so, in the studio today, we are catching up with my good buddy Aaron Polsky. He's been extremely busy and kind of off the grid a little bit lately. I haven't even seen y'all summer long, man.
Sorry,
what have you been up to, man?
Sorry.
It's cool, man. We're all busy people, and that's the best way to be. So, what have you been up to, man?
Well, it's been a great summer and a great year. Got to do a lot of fun projects. Obviously, our Cripple Creek stuff, which we need to sort of get kicking again.
It's time.
And then I've been working on a couple of things with our buddy Mayor. And I spent a month in Houston working with the Pass and Provisions team, which was awesome.
They're one of the Bon Appetit best restaurants in the country.
Yeah, they got that last year. They got the top 10, which is awesome. It was so great to work with them. And I'm really excited to be opening a new bar in the Meatpacking District called FC Gotham. And we soft open this week, and we will be officially opening in pretty much another few days.
Yeah, so. I got to go there on last Wednesday.
Yeah.
And check it out, and that was really cool. I was kind of...
skeptical because I was involved.
It's what's this guy with the beard and the hair and stuff? I'm kidding. I was really blown away by. I mean, it's the Meatpacking District, which I don't really go to that often, but I forget.
Same.
I forget about how much space there is. That place is huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
That bar is huge, man.
But it's also a very heavily populated neighborhood, so we need that space. We want it to be a neighborhood bar, and we want it to be a place where people can just go and have a good time and relax, and you know, that space is appropriate there. Like, that size, while it wouldn't be appropriate in the East Village, is like good there. It fits about 150.
That's scary to me. I work in one bar that only has 13 seats, and I work in another one that has about 100. So 150 is like...
You're almost there. Yeah, you just need to work at a 30-seat bar.
Just have to combine the two bars. Dude, so another thing I like about it is it's underground.
Yeah.
And like our
subterranean.
Subterranean, as it were. Another one of the hosts on the show, Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's 43. Like, I've always talked to him about how much I love his bar. Partially because it's underground. I think that's really cool. There's a certain vibe that happens like when you're basement bar, kind of like Lit and 151.
What's that? I don't know. I've never.
You don't
been
remember
to,
ever being there?
I don't know what that is. I've never been to Lit.
If you had a punch card, it would not exist. It would just be confetti on the ground. Yeah.
Super loyalty.
But there's something. I don't know. There's something cool about having an underground bar. You know. I don't know. But it's just that's one thing that I really like. Anyway, but the vibe of the bar is really cool. It's very big, like I said, so like you can really like get wild in there. And I think like when I was there last Wednesday, we got incredibly wild.
Yeah, we got wild. I was really, really happy with all the support we got. It was our first night.
I think I took my shirt off. Did I take my shirt off? I'm sure I did. Let's just say you did.
It's the first time.
Just so I don't disappoint anyone.
Intentionally,
it's off.
It's off right now.
Yeah, both of them.
Jack's shirt is off in the booth. So you're doing the actual opening in a few days.
Yeah.
Cool. What have you done so far? Like, what are some of the things that, like, they're different from this bar than other bars that you've worked at, opened before?
Well, this one is really focused on being a neighborhood bar, first and foremost.
Which is really different for meatpacking.
Right. It's, you know, normally people go there to go to a club or to go to a club. So it's great. We want it to be welcoming and basically put out really, really high quality product and to be dependable, right? So there's not going to be a door policy. It's not going to be outrageously priced drinks. Everything is going to be affordable and in line with what you get at any other really good bar. And the product is going to be great. So we have currently 14 craft beers, moving up to 18 shortly because we're still sort of putting it together. All our beers are craft. They're all really good. They start at $5. Most of them are $6 and $7, which is great.
Nice.
We've got Stillwater. We've got Oscar Blues, Victory. All those guys are sort of represented there. We have really, really good quality cocktails that we're also putting out in bottled form. FC Gotham has a bit of a history as an event space that was very sports focused, and so we'll be playing the sort of bigger games. And when people get there, they want fast service, and there's no reason that we can't provide them the same cocktails that we love quickly.
Which
and so
comes into like the bottled cocktail thing,
right? And it's what we've been working on for a while. And
is Mayur like involved with that at all? Or?
No, not with FC. We're just working on that project separately. But at FC, we do have bottled drinks, and you can get a bottle of 6 Old Fashions, and we serve it with 100-weight ice and these beautiful Yari Rocks glasses, and you can just serve yourself and your buddies.
Oh, nice.
So that's awesome.
That's really great, because like my buddy Chris DeCrosta, he's always said for years now, he's been like, dude, I can't go to... He's like, someone needs to open up a sports bar where you can actually get good drinks and good food, because it's not something that happens.
And that's what we're doing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, not that it's
going to
be a sports
bar. He should come in every day.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. But it's really funny because, like, that's something that we never really even talk about that on the show. But, like, you know, we all like sports. We all like booze. We all like food. You know, but we want the best of those things. And it's, like, really hard to find a place where you can do all that.
Yeah.
It's an untapped market.
Yeah, there are a few places that kind of do it. But I think another important thing is for it to be welcoming. So a lot of people won't go to a sports bar because they'll envision sports bar hell. And that's not what we want. We want it to be a neighborhood bar that shows sports. So if somebody's not super into it, we don't want them to be like, ugh, they're going to show every game of every single sport all day long, all the time. So we're going to... TVs will only be on for big games. We're going to have great music. We're going to have live music programmed. We're going to have DJs. Just to sort of set a nice vibe, nothing crazy. And
I do recall last Wednesday, in my hazy state, listening to probably every Thin Lizzy album during my stay there. So yes,
pretty sure.
Great music.
We went through that discography. and what else are we doing? Oh yeah, we're going to be putting on concert movies over the TVs.
Since
we have so many TVs with like such a great. Sort of field of vision. We're going to be putting on like The Song Remains the Same and Live at Pompeii and The Last Waltz.
Yeah.
Because it provides a really good music listening experience, and it's there if you want to look at it. And otherwise it's just on, you know, just playing on the dark stage. And that's great in the bar. So
that's what I've always liked about, I mean, like on the other side, like Dive Bar St. Jerome, like, well, back in the day, at least they used to always play concert movies or live concerts. And it's like, you know what? I'm kind of like on the fence about like TVs and bars, but if you're just putting on like the major games, like you were saying before, the major sporting events, or if you're putting on live concert, dude, that's the best because you're already going to have music in the venue anyway,
right?
But then adding a visual element to it. But think about, to me, like music over sports in a bar. Is that there's quite a bit more emotion and personal interaction with that, you know, and it's kind of like timeless than just in of the moment, like the World Series. Like, well, I mean, I don't want to piss anyone off because like we're not, you know, this isn't the 1919 World Series. There are rules, man.
There are rules. I'm on the line.
But yeah, I mean, like, I really like that. That's a great idea for a bar venue, you know, to have like live concerts on the TV and on multiple screens, you know, like seeing, you know, like Isle of Wight Festival, Jimi Hendrix just going crazy. It's like we can all get into that, you know.
It's fun, you know, and that's really important. Is to have a fun vibe and something that people can get into. So,
and also no commercials. So
right,
it's different from being a
dad. We were just going to do only commercials. I was putting together a reel of all the Geico ads. It was just going to be that.
Wow, you got your work ahead of you because you got a lot of them. Sorry, Geico,
Mr. Cattywampus.
If you want to sponsor this station,
it's 15% off.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really dug the vibe of the place. Ran into a bunch of good friends there, and I rarely find myself over the meatpacking district, but now I have got a reason to go. You know,
come by, we'll be here for you.
Yeah,
we got great food. So
yeah, I didn't get to try any of the food really, but the drinks were I can't wait to. But the drinks were awesome, man. You've got some really cool. I mean, like. As soon as I saw if I would have walked in there without even seeing you there, I would have read the menu and been like, Aaron Polsky's been here.
He just leaves his mark and goes, well, that's flattering. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, like...
For what it's worth. Maybe it's not.
Maybe. Well, I think just in the same way that certain bars have certain styles of drinks that they put on their menus, I think that individual bartenders obviously do as well.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you... Like a Thomas Waugh drink, you know, like you know that's Thomas Waugh when you see it. You know, Brian Miller or like Joaquin Simo, you know, like all these people, like Aaron Reeves, you know, like when you see these cocktails, you're like, oh, that, you know, Megan Dorman is one that like she really stands out as well. At Dear Irving, you know,
such a nice bar.
It's a beautiful incredible room. Bar.
It made me want to put glass beads all over my house.
I know, right? But you know, like the thing is, like when you see, like when you know a bartender, and their influence on a bar, it's you start seeing what their style is, and you can kind of like pick it out, even if you're on a multi like a multi bartender menu, you can be like, oh. It happens at my bar, like at Primes. It happens all the time. Like someone will be like, "Oh, this one's your drink, and this one's Garrett Richards' drink." You know, they can pick it out. You know, because you get used to someone's style,
right?
And so, like, you definitely have a strong influence there. There's, well, first of all, just the naming of the drinks. You know,
like what?
Like the Son of Wayland.
That one's actually a tribute to Evan Freeman. Because he had the Waylon at Taylor, which was an amazing drink. And it was smoked Coke and Jack Daniels. And in 2007, to smoke Coke and put it in the corny keg and then dispense it out over a gun with Jack was pretty awesome. And so this one with a smoked iced tea with Lapsang Souchong and sort of similar ingredients, we got Jack Single Barrel in there, which is kind of awesome. It's a little higher proof.
It's pretty baller.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to call it the Shooter Jennings, so I called it the Son of Waylon.
Well, because if you call it the Shooter, then you're promoting
some irresponsible drinking of 6-ounce beverages.
Yeah, but it's a great drink, and like, and I had the privilege of having a couple of drinks there, and they're really cool, man. Everything like very well balanced. You've always been a very inventive person, and like. Our times that we've gotten to work together on like our Cripple Creek stuff, it's like you always have like, I mean, you kind of think you. I've always thought that you always approach the recipes for cocktails. Well, clearly because you went to culinary school and like you approach it like from like the chef's perspective.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it sort of starts as a collection of ingredients. It's not like let's take a Collins and. Purpose something or, you know, shoehorn something into it, or it's not like we need 2 vodka, 2 rum, 2 whiskey. It's, well, this is a cool ingredient that would go well with something else. But the process is just sitting down and just writing out just like mapping lists of ingredients. Yeah. Be like, oh, this will sound cool. I'll revisit this later and spec it out. And I'll make the syrup and spec it out. And so that's how it starts. So it really depends on, you know, what I'm in the mood for or what I'm inspired by. So like I was at the market and I saw these beautiful Scotch bonnets and I wanted to make something with that. And so that sort of found its way into a drink. And then like Lopsong was sort of working with Sam, who's the general manager over there. He wanted to, you know, he like sent me a list and there was Lopsong on that. And I was like, well, that's cool. Let's, you know, work that into a drink.
Yeah.
And in fairness, I bastardized some of his ideas and turned them into like something completely different. But it was cool to work together and to come up with some new things.
Awesome. Let's take a quick break, and then when we get back, let's continue talking with Aaron Polsky from FC Gotham.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Heritage Foods USA is proud to announce our Heritage Rare Breed Chicken Rotation. We've partnered with Frank Reese, the country's preeminent poultry farmer, to create an alternative market for non-industry bred chicken and show our customers what real chicken tastes like. Frank's chickens look and taste different from commodity poultry. They have not been genetically manipulated or pumped with antibiotics to increase their growth rate. Frank breeds and hatches his own birds so he can guarantee the finest animal welfare from start to finish. Every 3 months, Heritage Foods USA will offer a new, rare breed of chicken on our website and at the Heritage Meat Shop. Our inaugural variety is the Colombian Wyandotte. These birds are good for frying and are sought after for their fine texture, taste, and healthy lipid fine yellow fat. Heritage Foods USA is the only place you can taste these special heritage birds. Order today at heritagefoodsusa.com.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy. And in the studio today, I've got my buddy Aaron Polsky. And we've been talking about FC Gotham. And it's a new place that just is about to open. They're during their soft opening period right now. I was lucky enough to go there last week and check out some of the cocktails in space. And, like, I mean, like, so I was wondering, with opening right here at the end of summer, your menu, you had to, like, kind of, like, focus on, like, going into fall, right?
Yeah. Well, you kind of really want to capitalize on that end of summer thing, too. If you go to the Green Market, most, you know, one would think that the best stuff would be there in June, July, and August, but really, it's, like, end of August, early September, sure. You just have the most beautiful produce there. And so it's really inspirational to think of things, but or to sort of shop around there and come up with drinks. But yeah, definitely going into fall, and you want it to feel appropriate for the season. So a lot of our drinks are definitely geared towards that a bit. So they're perfect for sort of like as the weather chills a little bit, it's warming and still refreshing at the same time.
Yeah. I think it's well, first of all, fall is my favorite season for cocktails. It's just like you said, you know, it's during harvest season, you've got all this beautiful produce and different, like, just like everything's happening during like the end of the summer and early fall. So it's like you said, very inspirational. I also like, and not gonna lie, I like to get to, like, when I'm coming up with drink ideas, I usually go to like the kind of like stirred and like on the more like spiritous side. And there's a lot of those flavors that go so well with the time of year, you know, it's all happening then, you know, I feel like there's so much out there now that we haven't seen before. Like, I don't know, like, I'm kind of ignorant, but like indigo tomatoes and stuff like that, that like, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? It's like, I want to use that because it's beautiful and delicious. And it's like, I know heirloom tomatoes, but like, I didn't know the name of this one. Now it's like, I want to base a drink around it.
Well, yeah, it's always great to work with things at the market. I typically try not to go too... I try to keep that more for home cooking because you don't know what you'll get the next week. Exactly. So when you're trying to make a menu, consistency plays a really important part, which is why I basically just buy gallons of pumpkin spice latte syrup and just put it, just use it as a standard house sweetener. But no, it's, there are just new ingredients that are available to us in general, you know, and that's great. Like the accessibility and availability of spices and good quality produce on a wholesale level is awesome. And also the technology to make them work fast. So everybody, well, not everybody, but you and I know the Dave Arnold pioneered rapid infusion technique with an EC container. And, of course, you can do that with a cryovac or, as I recently discovered, a food saver with a handy food saver Tupperware canister attachment. You can make things work fast. So you can experiment quickly. You can weigh things in grams. You can time how long it takes, how long you're putting suction on it. And you can get really good good bitters, good infusions. And that's great in, you know, especially for the fall, because you think of fall, you think of, I mean, all jokes aside, you do think of pumpkin spice. You think of pumpkin pie, and you think of all those warm spices and squash and all that.
Apples, pears.
Apples, pears, pumpkin spice.
Yeah. and I wish pumpkin spice fit on your knuckles, because we would go get a tattoo.
That would be, later. That's my, it's my jail name. but.
You're joking, but one of these days, it's going to come back to haunt you.
I'm going to be in Russian Criminal Tattoos Volume 4 as Pumpkin Spice. But you can make all of these really season-appropriate infusions and bitters and syrups and all that. And that's awesome. I think that six years ago, it would have been difficult to find different types of cinnamon. And now you can easily get them. At a place like SOS,
yeah,
at a place
like Google Indian, or like Kalishians and SOS, like you're a huge fan. Well, you live right by SOS, Chef.
Yeah,
and that's you're the one who introduced me to that place, and it's that's just like, a, like we've gone there just to like
just to go there
and like get ideas, because all the hydrosols and like extractions and like all the, like it's insane.
It's an amazing place, and we have the tools to use them.
Yeah.
Like, both, you know, mentally and physically, we have all of these tools to use these things, so.
Yeah, and there's some really crazy stuff out there, like Bon Dizange, like the really hardcore concentrated, like, extracts of, like, cilantro and shiso and stuff like that, that, like, you know, they might be $600 for a gram, but, you know.
Yeah,
that's... I paid more for weed. But, I mean, like, the accessibility to these ingredients is insane, man. And like, I guess talking about like fall cocktails and like the preservations, like we're really talking about like distillation in general, you know, just like the preservation of ingredients. But I think so many of these like really hardcore flavors are just like they work so well in the fall, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we have one, that's, one thing that I really, really like doing, and that's definitely an influence from Mayor and Avery Glasser, who's another buddy, the founder of Bitterman's, along with Janet, is working without home. Like, I love making homemade infusions, bitters, syrups, all that. But I also love layering things that are already in existence and are already beautiful in their own right.
Yeah.
And, just, I mean, talking about fall, old fashions and Manhattans are incredible fall drinks. And then when you start working in the Mari and bitters and liqueurs, we have one called the Joe Manko and Blondie. And it's an old fashioned with Fightin' Cock bourbon, which is Heaven Hill 101 6-year, which is, or 103 6-year, which is great. And then we have Royal Combier, which is basically their layering of cognac, Combier, and their chartreuse-like product, which is Elixir, Swedish Punch, and Benedictine.
And Swedish Punch is another mixture as well.
Yeah.
And Benedictine. And, right? Yeah.
I mean, is Benedictine, is there... it's a mixture of herbs.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And
layers on layers, basically, like,
it's just like there's just these layers and layers, and it's, you know, it's like a mix of,
it's like a psychedelic onion.
So it's actually called Lick My Love Pump. But it's this great fall old fashioned with just tons of spices and aromatics, and it's just warming and comforting and soothing, and that's something that's like a great way to sort of get into the season.
Yeah, I always feel like at the time when you can't like pick mint from your own garden, that's when we start moving in these things. Yeah. You know? Yeah. When like all freshness like kind of abandons you, that's when we start moving in those things. And I love making a Benedictine like hot toddy, you know, like when it gets time. Like, right. But doing it, you know, with little tea and like Benedictine and bourbon, just like
Benedictine and bourbon are pretty much amazing. I don't know why B&B isn't that.
Yeah,
it already works.
Why is it Benedictine and brandy? Why isn't it Benedictine and bourbon? Because it's awesome.
They just have to just change what's in the bottle.
Exactly.
They don't even have to change the label.
It's like the old PIMS, you know, like when they did the six different PIMS. It's like, you know what, man? Maybe we just do a different Benedictine. You know, you've been around 500 years. Let's experiment, guys.
I think it's time for growth.
Exactly. Yeah. I think. I don't want to get started on Benedictine because I'll freak out. I'll just go off forever.
And there are windows so people can see us.
Yeah, and like I've already got my shirt off, so it's terrible already.
People are eating.
People are eating. People are trying to eat some pizza at Roberta's. Calm down. I'm saying that to myself.
Oh, right. I'm putting my shirt back on.
I'm taking my pants off now. All right, good show. Well, okay, so give us some information on where to find you now.
So FC Gotham is 409 West 13th Street. It is under the newly opened Holden and Astor and the one-year-old VIP room. They're all in the same building. So 409 West 13th, it's between 9th Avenue, basically, and Washington, so half a block down from the Standard. So for all of you out-of-towners, when you come visit and stay at the Standard, come on over to FC Gotham, and we are there 7 days a week, and when we open officially, it'll be 5 to 2 on weekdays, 5 to 4 on Fridays, and then open at noon on weekends.
Cool.
So all the time.
Basically. So basically all the time. You're basically time. Just always open.
Yeah. Just come wake me up.
He'll be sleeping on one of the booths. Aaron, god damn. So nice to have you back in the studio.
It is awesome to be back. It's fourth time here?
It's your third time.
It's my third time?
Yeah.
It just gets better every time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And next time I'll be sure to not take off my shirt. It's been about a year since you've been on last time, so it's been great having you back on the show, and it's been really awesome seeing you. And I'm really, really psyched about the new place. Like I said, I'm like went there last week, super psyched about it.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Totally. All right. Well, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Tune in to Heritage Radio Network for many awesome shows and many shows that probably don't involve two bearded guys taking their shirts off, but that's okay. So I'll send out a memo so they know to do that. That's it for this week. Thanks so much. Cheers. It's gonna get you
some in the air. Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.